Let's get more on one of those stories that Serena was talking to you about, Tom, which is the net zero by 2050. Ambitious plan announced by the UAE over the past few days. Here's what we know. The UAE saying it has an ambitious strategic initiative to reduce carbon emissions by 2050. 600 billion dirhams will be invested in clean and renewable energy sources over the next 3 decades to make it happen. Comes in what is being described as a crucial year in the fight to protect the planet, with the UAE building momentum ahead of the COP26 climate talks there taking place in Britain. It's just next month. They have come around quicker than I thought. Unsurprisingly, the Vice President, Prime Minister of the UAE and ruler of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, has been tweeting about this. He says the UAE's net zero 2050 strategic initiative announced today is consistent with the long-standing vision of the UAE and its people to make a significant contribution to global sustainability while also supporting economic and human development. Let's get more on this now from an expert. Tanzeed Alam is Managing Director of Earth Matters Consulting here in the UAE. He joins us now live, not just on the phone, but also on Microsoft Teams. Tanzeed, thanks very much indeed.
Thanks a lot for inviting me. Good morning.
So what's the substance to this announcement that we got late last week?
Well, the substance behind it, we still need to see some more of the details, actually. But actually, the ambition is huge in terms of it being one of the first oil-producing and exporting countries outside of the OECD to set a net zero by 2050 target. So it sets a real precedent in the wider region to see, you know, how some of the bigger producers like Saudi Arabia might follow suit as well.
So it seems impossible that one of the world's major energy producers is going to be net zero. Now, we're already producing 3-ish, depending on the month, million barrels of oil per day. It's a significant amount of gas. We've got significant petrochemicals plants here in the UAE, and we're adding more to all of the above. And we know, because we heard from Sahel Al-Mazrui, the UAE Minister of Energy and Infrastructure, just a couple of weeks ago, saying that, you know, the UAE, as one of the lowest cost producers in the world, will be one of the last men standing when it comes to producing oil. So it seems a fair assumption that by 2050, the UAE will still have a major hydrocarbon economy. How can it therefore be net zero?
Sure. Well, we can't underestimate actually the pace of the global energy transition. So while the UAE is ramping up its ability to produce and supply oil to the rest of the world, the pace at which demand for oil is changing may change as well, with increased electrification of vehicles around the world. Is also something that the UAE will need to watch and adapt, be ready to adapt to. So in a way, the UAE itself has been undergoing a bit of an energy transition for the last 15 years since Masdar was set up. So I'd say it needs to be agile as a small, rapidly growing country to start pivoting away from oil and gas production and gas and using kind of fossil fuels, basically. So there's quite a bit of time between now and 2050 for a lot more kind of acceleration of renewable energy to happen. So it's in its interest for this net zero plan to start, you know, having review periods where it can really take stock of what's happening globally, where its energy supply partners are, to make sure that it stays ahead of the curve.
So very quickly, let's talk practical steps that the UAE can take. If we assume for the sake of argument there will still be some kind of hydrocarbons industry here by 2050, who knows? We haven't got a crystal ball. Let's assume that there's some kind of hydrocarbons industry. How do you, in a way, offset that large hydrocarbon footprint? What do you do here in the UAE? I mean, is it as simple as planting trees? I know you've looked at things like carbon capture and storage, relatively new technologies like that. Give me 2 or 3 practical things that the UAE can do.
Sure. Well, offsetting should always come as a last resort. So the UAE should really do what it can to avoid any new emissions. So that means building clean infrastructure and clean renewables. And whatever emissions it does have, it should minimize those emissions. So that's where technologies like carbon capture and storage comes in. So I know they've already built a plant to store 800,000 tons of carbon dioxide under the ground with ADNOC and Emirates Steel. The other part that's going to be important for the UAE is it's building a coal plant in Dubai. So how are those emissions going to be mitigated? Will that coal plant eventually be shut down, or will it need to be attached to a carbon capture plant? So those are some of those practical things that the UAE needs to start thinking through now. The other aspect of it is, and this is something we at Earth Matters are really involved in, is helping the UAE to actually start enhancing and protecting its natural carbon sinks, whether it's kind of mangrove coastal forests, as well as seagrass habitats. They absorb a lot of CO2, but they take kind of 15 to 20 years from planting to get to maturity. So it's a long-term, almost like a natural asset that needs to be managed in the same scale as which you think of your power plants and so on. So these are all practical things that the UAE can consider. The other thing that would be a really big catalyst for change is to introduce some kind of a carbon tax or a carbon market that puts a price on carbon here, because that could really set a long-term goal to industries to need to develop more cleanly. So, and that could also help actually fill the public purse with more money to reinvest in clean energy. That $600 billion you mentioned isn't actually new funding. It was announced 3 or 4 years ago as part of the UAE's Energy Strategy 2050. So this net zero initiative will need additional funding on top of that to the UAE to be able to reach that goal.
And finally, Tanzi, that's what the government can do and big business can do. What can individual punters like me and Tom do? I'm looking in the car park this morning. We're not doing the planet any favours in our large gas-guzzling SUVs, are we? What do we all have to do as individuals at home and at work?
Yeah, sure. That's a really good question. And practically, there's a lot we can do. You know, our energy consumption and water consumption in this country are critical to help reduce our own carbon footprint. So think about what you do at home in terms of switching your lights to LEDs, buying more efficient air conditioning systems, and buying energy efficient appliances. If you're thinking of buying a new car, I'd recommend try and think of an electric car as well. You don't have to buy a brand new. There are secondhand dealers out there. The market's beginning to expand. That would help reduce our own personal footprint and contributions. The other aspect is food production and use. Yeah, kind of eating meat has a major contribution to our greenhouse gas emissions. So you don't have to stop eating meat, but reduce the number of days you have meat, you know, maybe to a couple of days a week. The family decision, obviously, but there's a lot of healthier alternatives out there as well. And as businesses, I'd say start measuring your carbon footprint, your emissions, so you kind of start understanding where you're at right now, and consider setting your own targets to get to net zero so you can contribute to this national initiative.
Tanzi, exactly, we're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. All fantastic ideas. Appreciate you sharing them with us this morning. That's the voice of Tanzi Allam, Managing Director of Earth Matters Consulting.